So the epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. Brethren, I pray you not to faint in my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we desire or understand, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, world without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 14. At that time when Jesus went into the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? But they held their peace. But he, taking him, healed him and sent him away. And answering them, he said, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him to these things. And he spoke a parable also to them that were invited, marking how they chose the first seats at the table, saying to them, when thou art invited to a wedding, sit not down in the first place, lest perhaps one more honorable than thou be invited by him, and he that inviteth thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and then thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art invited, go, sit down in the lowest place, that when he who had invited thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory before them that sit at table with thee, because every one that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Gospel today, there are many lessons that our Lord is trying to teach. One, at the very beginning, we see the questioning of our Lord. This man had the dropsy. And so the question is posed whether they can cure, if our Lord can cure this man or not. And why would the question even become? There is that question of whether you can work on Sunday. And so for them, for the Pharisees, they were saying, well, obviously you shouldn't cure him. And so our Lord asked them the question back. You know, how many of you that would have an animal that you need that falls into a pit on a Sunday, how many of you would not take that animal out? Because you need to do your work. And you would think nothing of the effort, the work that it would take to take that animal out. And so he's trying to let them understand then, here we have someone who is sick. Someone that can be cured. And so our Lord is saying, why would I not be able to do this? Why would I not be able to try to cure this man? Because then again, it is a Pharisaical understanding of truly what the spirit behind honoring our Lord on Sunday means. And that is where a lot of times people get into this mentality of, you know, what can I do, what I can't do? And they lose the whole sense of the spirit behind giving honor and glory to God. And that is what we have to be careful of. We have to see that Sundays, holy days of obligation, they are meant to give honor and glory to God. And even to the point of saying that if all we look at it is we come to Mass and then we come in for Mass maybe a little bit late. Hypothetically, just think about that, that people could actually come into Mass after it starts. But they come in just for Mass, and then after Mass, they immediately leave. Be careful of the mentality of saying, well, I fulfilled my Sunday obligation, I'm done. Now I have the rest of the day to watch the Broncos, do other things, I'm fine. Be careful if that is your mentality. Again, it hints at a Pharisaical mentality of it. Because for us, the whole idea and the sense of giving glory and honor to God is, one, something that we should do every day of our life. But then, two, to have that understanding that Sundays, holy days of obligation, are set apart. They are set aside from the rest of the days, that your children will understand what it means, what a Sunday means to them. That it's not just about football. That a Sunday means that it is to give honor and glory to God. And so that is why we have to try to teach our children that. If for whatever reason you can't make it to Mass, well, then you still try to show to them that this day is set aside. That you read your missal, you pray extra prayers. You basically try to give that time that you would normally be at least at Mass, an hour, hour and a half, and you spend that in prayer. And so that is what our Lord was trying to get them to understand. Be careful of just this mentality of that. Well, I went to Mass, so it's all good. But if we don't have the proper spirit behind it, well, then we're missing out on that. But then even further than that, that our Lord tries to explain to them, as I said, there's many lessons in this gospel account, and so therefore, just the idea of giving honor and glory to God is something that is necessary for us to discuss. But he even goes further with the Pharisees. Because for one, they had this questioning of our Lord of saying, oh, can you actually do that on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, or the day that is given to our Lord? And so he gives them the parable. If you're invited somewhere, be careful of assuming the highest place. And the reason he says that is just because of what the Pharisees did. They come and they sit at the highest places and they think themselves better than everyone else. And so he says, so we have this feast that a person is putting on, this wedding feast. Do not assume the highest place, because what will happen if the one who has called this comes to you and says, oh, excuse me, can you go sit down at the back end of the table? Because there is someone that is more honorable than you coming in. He says it is much better that we sit at, say, a lower place, and then we're called forward. Where they say, friend, come higher. And so for one, our Lord is trying to instill in them this sense, this idea of humility, of a true humility, of not always thinking ourselves better than everyone else, but then also, I think, much more deeper than that. He is trying to get them to understand, do not deceive yourself. How easy it can be to deceive ourselves. Deceiving ourselves in terms of maybe our spiritual life. Even to the point of convincing ourselves, well, I'm not really capable of that sin or this mortal sin or that. And so from that, we basically live a lie. And so you can have people that will try to deceive others, even to the point of deceiving others in terms of their holiness. You know, maybe when they come into chapel, they have their hands folded, they don't look at anything, and they're all piously there, but their heart is far from God. That is what our Lord said when he said about the Pharisees. You know, their lips move, but their heart is far from God. And so we can put on the great act. We can deceive all the people around us. We can maybe even deceive our family. You can deceive the priest. We're human too. I don't have the ability to read souls yet. I don't think God has given me that. And so, yes, very easily you can deceive all the people around you. But we saw even last Sunday, what did St. Paul say about that? St. Paul in his epistle says, God is not mocked. You will never be able to deceive Almighty God. And so good luck. You can deceive all the people around you. You could be the living saint of the parish. But maybe to God, God sees exactly how your soul is, and therefore you may not be that living saint. And so what will that get us? A lot of problems on Judgment Day. And so that is why it's necessary for us to try to pray for the grace to see our soul as God sees it. I mean, in a way, to be true to who we really are. To realize, okay, if we have our weaknesses, our faults, fine. We all do. To acknowledge them and work on them. To try to become better. Instead of just acting that we are this saint and that we don't make any attempts to try to change anything. Because then there is that danger of deceiving ourselves. Deceiving and convincing ourselves that we are better than we are. And so talk about like looking at a mirror and not seeing clearly what is there. Looking through rose-colored glasses. These sayings that are there for us to understand that it is easy to deceive ourselves. And it's a shame if we do. We see that example in the Old Testament with the famous story of Cain and Abel. Here you have these two brothers. And they are meant to give their very best to Almighty God. Because God deserves it. And so Abel did that. Abel gave the very best he had to God. Cain, on the other hand, he kept back what was best for himself. And then he gave basically God his second best. And so to the point that God was very pleased with Abel because he did give his best, God was not really happy with Cain because he held back. That Cain got so mad that he ended up killing his brother. Because he appeared that he was giving his best to God. He acted like it. He deceived himself. So it ends up that for Cain, he ended up killing his brother. And lying to God when God asked, "Where is Abel?" And the famous answer back to that, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And so we see how deception of deceiving ourselves, what it can do to us. It can make us live a complete lie. And then from that, because we are living that lie, that we constantly go And we have to lie to cover up this lie. We have to lie to cover up that lie. We have to do this and that. And in some ways, we probably don't even recognize our own self. And so that is what is a danger for us, of not having the graces to truly see who we are. Because that is how we will appear before the eyes of God. And so when our Lord goes through this whole account, he is teaching us lessons. As I say, for one, what is owed to Almighty God, the honor and glory that is due to him, yes. And then not assuming things that are what don't belong to us. And so, yes, there is a matter of humility. But as I say, I think much more pointingly, that our Lord tries to explain to them, don't deceive yourself. Because that deception will cause us many, many problems. And as I say, it's very easy for us to sometimes even do that in our own spiritual life. That we are unwilling, in a way, to expose ourselves to the weaknesses, to the faults we may have. And why? Because it is this false idea of, oh, you know, whether it's human respect or we don't want the priest to know, or it is sad that we will go through that at the stake of our soul. And as I say, because of what St. Paul says, God is not mocked. We will live our lives, and as also St. Augustine says, as you live your life, so will you die. So if you live your life in deception, that is how you will end up dying. So why not then pray for the graces to see your soul as God sees it, to live your life and try to work on the weaknesses, the faults that we may have. Why try to be something that is fake? Because what do we expect? As I say, you can fool all the people around you. You can fool the entire parish. But you will never fool Almighty God. And God is the only one that really matters. God is our judge, not the other people around you. Maybe people are very judgmental, but they are not our judges. And so in a way, who really cares what they think? God is the only one that matters for our soul. Because even in a way, you will never please everyone around you. If we try to, then we are deceiving ourselves. Because you will be constantly changing for everyone around you. And again, what good is that? What does that get us? And so truly, pray for these graces. As I say, it's a grace to be able to see our soul as God sees it. But pray for that grace. Beg God for that grace. Because that is the only way we will advance in the spiritual life, if we have a true sense of who we are. But if we're living a lie, all we will continue to do is deceive ourselves. And when we deceive ourselves, who are the one we are hurting? We are hurting ourselves only. So as I say, what good is it? What will it get us? It will not get us to heaven. And so our Lord taught many lessons in this. And so let us learn from these lessons. Let us understand that. Because that is why he says very clearly, anyone that will exalt himself shall be humbled. But he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.